air, online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, one nurse to 16 patients has become a regular occurrence at Letterkenny University Hospital, according to the chair of the HSC's Western Regional Health Forum. The Foreign Affairs Minister says the Irish government is serious about listening to unionist concerns around the Northern Ireland Protocol. A Donegal deputy is calling for an emergency budget to support workers and families as inflation hits its highest rate in four decades. And a Donegal cafe has been served a food closure order. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin, followed by Farming News and Views. First news this evening, one nurse to 16 patients has become a regular occurrence at Letterkenny University Hospital, according to the chair of the HSC's Western Regional Health Forum. The Donegal News revealed today that 87 nurses and midwives have resigned from the hospital since 2020. That's more than twice as many as the 38 who retired over the same period. Councillor Jerry McMonagall, chair of the HSC's Western Regional Health Forum, says it's clear additional resources to alleviate pressure on staff at the hospital is needed.
It's normally around one till 12 patients, and that two nurses will be on an evening time. If one is off sick, then you could have one nurse to 16 patients. And this is a regular occurrence, and that leads to the burnout that we're seeing here and the large number of resignations and then retirements. You know, we have 125. We've lost over the 2.5 years, and we've recruited 48. The figures just don't add up, and we are left now that our health service at the LUH, as you know, Donal, we've talked about it often enough, and we've seen it at the weekend again. It's not just beds, it's staffing problems is probably the main issue.
You regularly meet with the hospital manager, Sean Murphy, with Tony Canavan, the head of sales, and with other senior officials. Is there anything they can be doing right now to ease this situation? What can be done today that will help up the recruitment?
It's about trying to promote and create better working conditions. It's about recruiting more nurses. It's about getting more nurses into the system. It's about reassuring the current nursing staff that we have that changes are on the way, that they are doing everything they possibly can to help and assist and ensure that there is sufficient nursing staff there to cope with the demand. But unfortunately, this last number of years, and we haven't seen that, and there isn't the evidence of that. And while I say that I do believe they're trying their best, I think it's just that the word out there on the street is, and particularly about Letterkenny University Hospital, that it's an extremely pressurised position, and if you can get somewhere else, go. And I think that's what's happening.
The Foreign Affairs Minister says the Irish government is serious about listening to unionist concerns around the Northern Ireland Protocol. However, Simon Coveney said it will only happen if the British government gets serious about negotiating a solution. Earlier this week, the Taoiseach called a draft bill which would see part of the protocol scrapped a new low for British-Irish relations. Minister Coveney says the UK government needs to signal whether they are willing to negotiate.
The answer here is to act as a partner and a neighbour, to work these issues out together, to respond to genuine unionist concerns in Northern Ireland, and we do want to respond to those. And I believe that both the European Commission and certainly the Irish government is up for that. But we cannot do it unless the British government can give us a signal that they're serious about that discussion, that negotiation, to try and find common ground.
Well, British Labour leader Keir Starmer met with the Taoiseach in Dublin today. He criticised Boris Johnson's approach to the Northern Ireland Protocol issue.
We face bigger problems than this with good faith, statecraft, graft and trust around the negotiating table, which is what a Labour government would bring. These problems can be overcome, but a Prime Minister without those attributes taking a wrecking ball to the relationship is not going to help anybody.
A Donegal deputy is calling for an emergency budget to support workers and families as inflation hits its highest rate in four decades. Inflation rose to 7.8% in May, the biggest annual increase since 1984. Sinn Féin Finance spokesperson Deputy Pearse Doherty says this further highlights the need for targeted measures to support low and middle income households. The cost of diesel at some garages in Donegal has now risen to over €2 a litre. Deputy Doherty told the 9 till noon show earlier today that the government has the power to reduce the cost of fuel.
We have proposed on at least two occasions, we had motions before the Dáil which would allow us to reduce the taxation on petrol and diesel to the maximum amount we're allowed to under the European Union rules. And Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens have voted on two occasions against that. The Fiscal Advisory Council was before the Finance Committee last week. They issued a big report in relation to the economy and so on and so forth. And they make the point that all of the cost of living measures that have been introduced by the government so far are less expensive than the extra money they're bringing out in as a result of inflation. So inflation hurts people. It hurts people if you're trying to get from A to B and fill your car with diesel or petrol. It hurts you if you're trying to buy clothes for your kids, and you're seeing now that this is now the time when we're going to start seeing a spike in clothes increases. We're seeing food has already started to increase. Energy has been increasing since last year. But from a government point of view, from a tax revenue point of view, the government actually makes billions of euro as a result of inflation, because when the price of diesel goes up, the amount of VAT that we take in, we charge 23% as a state of VAT on that. So therefore, they take in more money. When the price of clothes goes up, again, the more VAT is paid to the exchequer. So that's why there is an argument here where we can reduce petrol and diesel further.
7 closure orders have been served on food businesses in Donegal, Dublin, Wexford, Monaghan and Offaly, compelling them to shut their doors until the problems are resolved. The Donegal order was issued on the Mart Cafe at Rafo Mart on May the 6th and remains in force. A number of issues were highlighted, including the cleanliness of the premises, food storage protocols, availability of hand washing facilities and the presence of flies. Irish mortgage holders are set for increases in repayments after the European Central Bank announced it's raising interest rates. The ECB announced this afternoon that it is upping its key interest rates by 0.25% in July, with the possibility of a larger hike again in September. Those on variable and tracker mortgages are said to be impacted by this, while those on fixed rates won't be affected. ECB President Christine Lagarde says this increase won't have an immediate impact against rising inflation.
We observe that inflation expectations are well anchored, and we certainly want to indicate to those who form expectations, whether they're markets, whether they are experts, whether they're consumers, that we are determined to delivering on our target of 2% in the medium term.
The new traffic lights in Letterkenny are to be raised at a municipal district meeting next week, with claims that they are hindering rather than helping traffic movement. Over the past fortnight, new traffic lights have been implemented at the junction of Joe Bonner Road and the Neil T. Blaney Road, but it's the lights at the junction of Pierce and Justice Walsh Road that are the subject of most comment. Councillor Michael McBride says he's been told the company which installed the lights is now monitoring traffic and will recalibrate them shortly. However, he says it's important the council discuss the issue now.
The traffic seems to be backing up fairly heavily there from Noel McGinley's building back towards the old town. It seems at times there, you know, there's massive gaps in between McGinley Motors and the Tesco roundabout. I've had a number of calls from taxi drivers in particular and driving instructors, and, you know, they think it needs to be tweaked. Now, I have made representations to the roads engineers about it, and they told me that the people who install the traffic lights, they have some system of gathering data, and that they're going to come back in 2 weeks and recalibrate them depending on the results that they get. So I hope that'll work, but in the short term, it certainly has been causing a lot of problems. I know from talking to the other councillors that they've all been getting loads of calls about it.
Is there some way of getting a smart system that would allow the lights react to the traffic conditions rather than impose preset conditions on the traffic?
Don't know, to be honest with you, I am aware of those systems. I'm not too sure if they've considered it for Letterkenny. There's no point in me saying something that I'm not too sure about. But I do know they have them in there at the Foyle Bridge in Derry as well, at the Blue Bridge there, where you cross over the old bridge on the Foyle. They seem to work really well. I think one of the big issues now at the moment seems to be the pedestrian crossing there, just at McGinley Motors, because it seems to be sitting, you know, for quite a long time. When somebody presses the button before it goes back to green again, I'm sure there's improvements certainly can be made on it. We need to make sure that they're put into place as soon as possible, and that traffic flows around the town, you know, in the best manner that it possibly can.
Milford residents are next in line to benefit from works as Irish Water continues to drive down leakage and improve water supply in Donegal. Irish Water crews are working in the Upper Mount Marion area of Milford to improve their water supply as the utility gears up to begin replacing old backyard services and ageing water mains. Emma Ryan has more.
The works in Upper Mount Marion, Milford, will be carried out by Farrans Construction in partnership with Donegal County Council and on behalf of Irish Water. It will replace 240 metres of water main along with the backyard services. The benefits will see improved water quality and will ensure a reliable supply of water to customers in the area. The new pipes will also eliminate existing leaks and reduce the amount of clean water lost into the ground. This mains work is part of a significant investment by Irish Water to upgrade the water network in Donegal, and the works, when they commence, may involve some short-term water interruptions. Customers will be given a minimum of 48 hours notice prior to any planned water interruptions.
Funding has been announced to treat Japanese knotweed in Donegal. €47,000 has been received by Donegal County Council to treat the invasive species naturally. Donna Marie Doherty reports.
Donegal County Council, in collaboration with the Inish Owen Rivers Trust, Local Authority Water Programme and the Office of Public Works, have been successful in obtaining funding from the Department of Public Expenditure and Reforms Public Service Innovation Fund. The amount awarded is €47,000, with Donegal County Council and Local Authority Water Programme providing a further €5,000 each in match funding. The project focuses on the treatment of Japanese knotweed, an invasive alien species which is widespread through both the county and the country. The trial, led by KPM Soils, will use specially treated compost to treat knotweed at several test sites across the county. Previous small-scale testing has shown promising results, and the experiment will be completed during the summer of 2022.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with golf, and the PGA Tour has suspended its 17 members who have decided to play the Saudi-backed LIV Golf Tour. The breakaway tour is underway just outside of London. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan has also informed all players that those who have resigned their membership are no longer valid for the FedEx Cup rankings. LIV Golf have called the move vindictive. Graham McDowell, Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson and Lee Westwood, they're among the players suspended from competing on the PGA Tour following their involvement in that international golf series. Well, golf analyst Brandale Chambly says LIV Golf doesn't have the benefits of the PGA Tour.
This foundation is based upon greed and sports washing. It buys these players. It will treat these players as a depreciating asset. They will be expendable. They will be tossed aside when they have no further use to LIV Golf.
Well, on the PGA Tour this week, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry are both off to good starts today. They're both three shots off the lead on day one of the RBC Canadian Open. They're both on 3 under par. Wyndham Clark leads the way. He's out on the course on 6 under par. Matt Fitzpatrick and Doug Gim are one shot off the lead on 5 under par. Moving on to soccer, in the Republic of Ireland, under-21s could seal a European Championship playoff spot without kicking a ball tonight. If Group F leaders Italy defeat Sweden and Helsingborg, then Jim Crawford's side can finish no lower than second. Kickoff in that game was just about 15 minutes ago at 5 o'clock. Meanwhile, pressure has continued to mount on Northern Ireland manager Ian Barraclough ahead of tonight's Nations League outing. They've won just once in their last 5 games and they're away to Kosovo. That game starts at 7:45. In other news cross-channel, Liverpool have agreed personal terms with Benfica striker Darwin Nunez. Talks are ongoing between the clubs regarding the structure of the deal, which is likely to reach €100 million. Nunez scored 34 goals in 41 games last season for Benfica, including one in each leg of their Champions League quarter-final with Liverpool. The FA Cup winners today confirmed the departure of cult favourite Divock Origi, as well as Loris Karius, Ben Woodburn and Shea Ojo. Meanwhile, the head of police in operation for last month's Champions League final in Paris has apologised for tear gassing Liverpool and Real Madrid fans. Didier Lallement also told a parliamentary hearing in France his claims that around 40,000 Liverpool supporters tried to enter the stadium without tickets or with forged ones may have been a mistake. UEFA is carrying out an independent review. And the Premier League has suspended its deal with Russian broadcaster Match TV over the country's invasion of Ukraine. The decision was agreed at today's shareholders' meeting of English top-flight clubs. In Gaelic Games, Meath GAA have voiced its disgust at online abuse levelled at Andy McEntee and his family. McEntee stepped down as Meath senior football manager at the weekend following 6 years in charge. His son, Meath captain Shane, and daughter Aisling have both shared stories of the abuse they've received during their father's tenure as manager. Meath say such abuse should never be directed at individuals. In rugby, Jonathan Sexton has returned from injury in time for tomorrow night's United Rugby Championship semi-final with the Vodacom Bulls. He's been named on the bench for the game at the RDS, so Ross Byrne continues at out half. But Robbie Henshaw and Jack Conan return to start in 15 in place of Kieran Frawley and Ryan Baird. And in tennis, Wimbledon's announced there'll be a record prize money at this summer's tournament, with the men's and women's singles champions both taking home £2 million. A total pot of just over £40 million will be an offer for the championship, which get underway later this month. It's a 5.4% increase from the last fully capacity tournament in 2019. Well, on the score this week, we'll be looking ahead to the Donegal-Armagh All-Ireland Qualifier clash this weekend, with Donegal boss Declan Bonner and 1992 All-Ireland winner Tony Boyle. Also, Maxie Curran speaks to us ahead of Saturday's ladies All-Ireland opener against Waterford, and Patsy McGonigal discusses John Kelly's latest record-breaking throw in Norway. While in our Donegal International Rally preview, we are joined by two former winners of the international and national events, Gareth McHale and David Bogie. That's all on the score after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, the Atlantic Technological University has received a €3.7 million investment in projects aimed at improving public understanding of science, technology, engineering and maths. The funding focuses on encouraging diversity and inclusion in STEM, while also targeting a wide range of ages, including young children, teens and adults. A total of 47 projects at the ATU are receiving funding through the Science Foundation Ireland Discover programme. Welcoming the announcement, President of the Atlantic TU, Dr. Orla Flynn, says they are committed to encouraging more young people to seek careers in STEM, with the Northwest and West fast becoming the epicentre of STEM. The North's Infrastructure Minister, John O'Dowd, has reaffirmed his commitment to deliver the A5. A public consultation on a new environmental statement and associated documentation concluded last month, and it's hoped that a reconvened public inquiry into the scheme can take place later this year. West Tyrone MP Orla Begley says the longer this is delayed, the longer the people of Tyrone and Donegal are being denied a vital improvement to the route.
The vast majority of people right across the Northwest want to see the delivery of the A5, and there's widespread support for the A5 upgrade. Unfortunately, there's a small group of individuals who are determined to try and stop the progress in the project going forward, but thankfully, the department and the minister have given his firm commitment that the A5 will go ahead and will be seen as a top priority in terms of delivery for his projects in the Department for Infrastructure. I know, unfortunately, we have had recent fatalities on the A5, and we want to ensure that there is no further unnecessary delays, that we can see the delivery of this project without any delay.
This is going to be massive for everybody in the Northwest, because it will ultimately create a better road to Dublin and the rest of the country.
The A5 will be a strategic link from the Northwest right into Donegal, right through to the capital in Dublin, and it will unlock the economic potential of that region and in turn seek and attract investment and job prosperity for the region. It's crucial that we do have that connectivity, and for too long the people of Tyrone and Donegal have been deprived of that infrastructure. So we need to ensure that everything is done now to get this project over the line, to ensure that we have the delivery of the A5, which is crucial in terms of connectivity, but also in terms of road safety as well.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lyford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lyford Credit Union, Raffo Newton Lyford, supporting local farmers.
Firstly, in farming news and views this evening, the IFA Animal Health Chairman TJ Maher has today welcomed progress by the Department of Agriculture towards reducing the VAT rate on non-oral vaccines to 0%. The current VAT rate is 23%, with farmers spending in excess of €40 million annually on vaccines alone. This could result in savings of over €10 million for farmers. The Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConlogue, has announced the approval of the Old Irish Goat breed as a native rare breed to Ireland. Its recognition as a breed is based on extensive DNA profiling and is an important step in the conservation of this rare breed. Minister McConlogue says there are many factors such as cultural, historic and genetic diversity that make the Old Irish Goat a unique breed with a rich history unique to Ireland. Today they provide an important resource in conservation, grazing, heritage and tourism. The Old Irish Goat Society is now also recognised by the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine as a breed society and approved to maintain a breeding programme for the breed in Ireland. In other news, a report by PwC on the Irish pig industry highlights a sector that is on the brink of collapse, according to IFA Pigs chairman Roy Galley. The report estimates that 10% of pig farmers have already exited the sector in recent months, with a further 20% at risk of leaving. Mr. Galley says the analysis by PwC confirms just how dire a position the pig sector is in at the moment. The month of May showed no let up, with the average pig farmer losing €44 for every pig they sold last month. The Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association are calling for additional support to assist farmers access meal and fodder supplies this autumn and winter. Speaking at the association's AGM, National President Vincent Roddy outlined the need for additional supports to assist farmers with spiralling costs resulting from the ongoing war in Ukraine. He's calling on Minister Charlie McConlogue to consider top-up payments to existing schemes such as the Sheep Welfare Scheme, Suckler Support Schemes and the Areas of Natural Constraint as a mechanism to pay farmers. Farmers in New Zealand are to become the first in the world to pay for greenhouse gas emissions caused by their livestock. The new measure, labelled the burp tax, will come into force in 2025 and follows a partnership deal worked out by farming representatives and the government. New Zealand has around 10 million cows and 26 million sheep. Climate scientist Peter Thorne says although the tax can't be strictly linked to emissions from each animal, it will ensure the sustainability of both land and agricultural incomes.
You clearly cannot measure the emissions from every single animal, particularly if they're out on pasture, as is the case in New Zealand and here for much, if not all, of the year. So there are assumptions. It's not just methane that's being taxed under this proposal. It would also be nitrous oxide from fertilisers and CO2 emissions from a number of other sources, although not fossil fuel-based consumption.
The Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Senator Pippa Hackett, has today announced the commencement of the 2021 balancing payments for the Organic Farming Scheme. Over 1,000 farmers have received payments totalling over €784,000. Payments will continue to issue over the coming weeks, according to the Minister. And finally, the Rural Ireland organisation has described as grossly misleading advertising by some media outlets calling the AECM the new REPS. Agriculture Environmental Climate Measure, which is the correct name for the next environmental scheme, is absolutely nothing like the old REPS, according to the group. The organisation is seriously concerned that farmers are being asked to join the scheme without all details of it being published. Leader of the organisation, Jerry Loftus, says farmers listening to figures like €7,000 and €10,000 as payment for the scheme means nothing. Farm payments instead, he says, will be based on a scorecard system.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
And for weather now, mild, breezy and largely dry this evening with sunny spells. Mainly dry and clear at first tonight. Scattered showers will, however, move in overnight. Lowest temperatures of 9 to 12 degrees. And the closing headlines this evening, one nurse to 16 patients has become a regular occurrence at Letterkenny University Hospital, according to the chair of the HSE's Western Regional Health Forum. The Donegal News revealed today that 87 nurses and midwives have resigned from the hospital since 2020. That's more than twice as many as the 38 who retired over the same period. The Foreign Affairs Minister says the Irish government is serious about listening to unionist concerns around the Northern Ireland Protocol. However, Simon Coveney said it will only happen if the British government gets serious about negotiating a solution. A Donegal deputy is calling for an emergency budget to support workers and families as inflation hits its highest rate in four decades. Inflation reached 7.8% in May, the biggest annual increase since 1984. And seven closure orders have been served on food businesses in Donegal, Dublin, Wexford, Monaghan and Offaly, compelling them to shut their doors until the problems are resolved. The Donegal order was issued on the Mart Cafe at Rifaux Mart on May the 6th and remains in force. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of Remain Evening News on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Obituary notices for Thursday evening, June 9th. The death has taken place of Jerry Lynott, Larissa Lodge Nursing Home, Letterkenny, formerly of Montgomery Terrace, Mavull. Remains reposing at his home in Montgomery Terrace. Jerry's funeral mass will take place on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Pius X Church, Mavull, followed by burial in Ballybrack Cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on mavullparish.com. The death has taken place of Thomas Gibson, Ballybough Convoy. His remains will repose at Terence McClintock's funeral premises from 6 p.m. this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. for 2:30 funeral service in St Ninian's Parish Church, Convoy, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Wake strictly private to family only. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Patrick Joseph Murphy, Fulcara. His remains are reposing at his sister Margaret's home in Fulcara. Removal tomorrow morning to St Finian's Church, Fulcara, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary at 9 p.m. with house private to family and friends only, please, and private before the funeral tomorrow. Mass can be viewed live on mcmmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Daniel Kern, known as Terence, formerly of 5 Calais Road, Calais. Funeral leave in Bradley and McLaughlin's funeral home this evening at 7:30 p.m. to the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Calais, reposing overnight for Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Interment afterwards in the St Columba's Cemetery, Drung. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Hugh Harkin, Carrick Hill, Drumfries, Clonmany. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20, going to St Mary's Church, Cockhill, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired to the Oncology Haematology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Comsky funeral directors. Funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.